From Wellington, New Zealand, we are Phil Cook and George Langlands, and this is the Beer Diary Podcast.
Hello.
And we're here with the Garage Project guys. We've got Pete and Joss here, but not Ian. Is that correct?
Not Ian, no.
He's got a day job.
He's still got a day job.
You have a day job as well.
It's just unemployed like us.
You're not really unemployed.
We're the busiest unemployed people in Wellington.
That's probably true.
And before we drink too much, but should we just quickly talk about the beer of the week?
Is this the beer of the week?
This is the beer of the week.
We have a couple here, though.
Well, we may get through more than one.
Could be three beers of the week.
Three beers of the week. Jeez. Let's not set the bar too high. Does your machinery take out slurring?
Yeah, there's an anti-slur filter.
It's fine. Because this is the funny thing. We're at, you know, Garage Project Brewery, and the quantities are so small that there isn't lying around prop beer. This was a problem you hit with a journalist the other day.
Yes, a journalist came along and wanted us to have our photo taken holding a glass of our own beer, which we weren't allowed to do because there's no spare beer. It's all
50 litres?
50 litres at a time. So that's our maximum. That's really pushing.
So probably closer to 40 commercially released of each.
Two corny kegs.
So really we have to be very, very cautious with our stocks. It's one of the things I found most difficult moving from a big brewing background where you obviously have a huge uni tank. You can sample it as much as you like. You can test it every day to see how the ferment's going to you know, working with 50 litres. The first time we brewed, I was testing it every day, and then I went to put it in the keg and there was nothing left. Bugger.
So is that kind of an artistic choice, or is this just to get it right before you spend the extra money on doing the bigger batches?
I think like anyone, we always wanted to have a larger brewery day one, and we looked at doing that, and practically speaking, I mean, Pete definitely has the background to jump on a kit like that and start banging out great beer straight away, but to get the finances together and the planning and the resource consent and all of that, we were looking at months, if not years, to do that. And we saw an alternative with a smaller kit, pilot plant, to really get up and running a lot faster, get beers out there and start getting some feedback on them. And it was a lot more exciting to us.
And the other thing that's really good about it is because it's 50 litres at a time, you're able to take risks that you would never dream of taking if you had 5,000 litres at a time. You know, 50 litres, if it goes horribly pear-shaped, you can bin it, you know. Although we are trying to be very open with our experimentation. Joss likes to call it experimenting in the open. So even when things don't go quite as well as we'd like, rather than just binning them with...
Has anything gone down the drain yet?
The very first beers we tried, because of, I was telling you earlier, we had a taint in the kegs, and the beers came out tasting like boys' bog lollies, which is, you know, not one of the flavours I want in my beer.
I was doing a blind taste testing of various things for Consumer Magazine a little while ago, and we had one beer, I won't say what it turned out to be, but someone was saying it smelt exactly like toilet air freshener, and everyone was arguing, and they said, no, I mean the toilet air freshener here. Seriously, take the key, go down the corridor, smell the loos, and it was like, okay, and sure enough, got the little swipe card and went to the loo. You know, whoever it was who had made the comparison had broken the seal already, so to speak. So they had smelt the loos at the offices, and it was bang on.
Really?
Not in a terrible way. Like, imagine incredibly posh loo air freshener.
Right.
Yeah. So it was fresh and floral, but slightly too clean and disinfected.
Slightly too much like the loo.
Yeah. It was surreal.
Like your nana's loo.
You go for. In this beer, it worked, and I do drink that beer on other occasions, but I think I probably should still not. It's definitely not what they're going for.
No.
So, I mean, as we record this, here we are, and you've released, it was number 8 last week.
It's number 9.
8 or 9? Golden Brown was either 8 or 9.
23. four, five, six, seven, eight. With number nine was going right. Number nine.
Good God. Number it's possible nine. My beer diary has the wrong number in it.
So we've done 9 in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So I think it's fitting if you do 3 beers on your 1 beer of the week.
That's probably a good point. Yeah, because the Garage Project poster always says 24 beers, 24 weeks, and everyone just thinks, okay,
it's
one a week.
1 a week, but it's no, not. No, yeah, no. Whoops.
We meant
well,
on average.
We started out with the 3. So we had the Trip Hop, Pernicious Weed, and the Manuka Dark, which was an interesting beer. It really polarized people. People either loved it to death and couldn't get enough, or really just couldn't take it.
I love the tasting notes people were giving it. With that, I have a horrible habit of giving tasting notes that sound like they're terrible. So people were saying, you know, it tasted like the dust at the bottom of a packet of rations. It tasted like smoked fish.
Yeah.
And you just had to stop people and say, in a good way or a bad way? And some people go, no, in a bad way. And other people go, oh, totally a good way.
It was quite interesting because it was a savoury, like savoury sweet combination. Because it was, you know, that sort of Scottish, strong sweet Scottish beer with that sort of real Manuka bacon character. It was quite interesting. I quite liked it. But I wouldn't probably have drunk vast amounts of it.
Well, there are vast amounts of it.
Luckily enough, we made so little it just went. very interesting. So there were 3 for the first week, and then we did a side-by-side hop tasting.
Yeah.
And then the Dr. Broadbort's 2 beers, the Coxswain's Courage and the Venusian Pale Ale, which was a hoot. And we also dropped a sneaky one later that week called Happy Days, which it's Maori for hop. Happy. So we hope that one will return again. That's one we're working on. So it's one of our little secret experimentals, but we dropped.
But this is the thing, isn't it? It's very public experimentation.
It is.
And because you don't get to try a lot of it, like if you guys have a pint each, that's a sizable percentage of the whole run. I was just doing the math in my head before. It's like, if each pint you have is a percentage point of the whole thing.
Mm. I mean, another sort of term we're coming up for it is what we're calling live brewing.
Yeah.
We do come in here and just really sort of start brewing what we feel like at the time, and it's a beer we've never brewed before. And then,
had a dream about this the night before. Let's just see if it works.
There's a couple of beers where I have almost the night before I've gone, wow, you know, tomorrow I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Or even in the morning, hey.
So there is
and it does kind of work.
Set. There might be pencil marks on the calendar, but there's no...
There's pencil marks. Yeah. This is like a rough kind of notepad of ideas. But they change. I don't think we've done any of them exactly the same way that we planned. You know, it's a really nice antidote to having worked in a bigger craft brewery.
Must just be so liberating.
You were at...
Yes.
You were at James
Squire. The Malt Shovel. So making James Squire. It's called the Malt Shovel Brewery in Sydney for 5 years. Prior to that, I was at Hepworth & Co. in England, which was like a brewery that did its own beers, but also did a lot of contract brewing for other people. I mean, that was great fun because, you know, people would be coming in, little breweries, little English breweries who'd maybe won an award but had no capacity or bottling, would come and say, look, can you do this for us? So you'd be doing new beers every week from great little breweries, and often they're real award winners. So, I mean, good fun. and then before that, I worked at Breakspears, which was one of the great English real ale breweries. But unfortunately, got it in the neck kind of 9 months after I started. 250 years of proud brewing history, and it got it in the neck. The site was in Henley-on-Thames, which is the most expensive real estate in England, and it was right on the Thames in a beautiful building. I've forgotten the name of the architect, but he did quite a few of those big breweries that had pagoda sort of tops.
Yeah, beautiful.
Absolutely stunning. And it was all brass and copper and wood. And, you know, the fermenting room was incredible. It was like 4 stories high, and it had like a stained glass window down. It looked like a cathedral,
Nice circular cathedral. Compared
to the kind of, you know, functional industrial stuff. Look around you. And,
I'll take some photos and show you.
But unfortunately, the site was just worth too much, and it had become a publicly owned company rather than a family company.
Right.
And they saw a chance to make a quick, you know, £20 million or whatever. So they took it. No, I mean, what happened was that the brand Breakspears was then taken off, sold to Refresh, which was a drinks company. And to their credit, they actually removed all the brewing equipment from Breakspears, because it had a very unique system. Yeah. They dropped the beers after 24 hours, so it started to ferment, and they dropped it down into another fermenter. They removed all of the brewing equipment, and they took it to another brewery which they owned called Witchwood, makes that Goblin.
Mm-hmm.
And they set it up as a separate brew stream there. So, you know,
continuing to make the Breaks.
Continuing to make Breaks beers. So they would then supply the pub group.
When were you there?
Early 2000s, and I can't remember. Right. Yeah, 2001.
There's a couple of Breaks beers way back in my diary. I was just trying to think maybe if you made them. I think I had them after you left, unfortunately.